Well, pray with me as we prepare our hearts this morning for the word of the Lord. Listen, the word of the Lord is always life-changing. But we have to have a heart that's open, receptive to it. Amen. Father, I just thank you for your word. I ask for your help this morning, the anointing of your spirit, Lord, to speak forth what you'd have me to. And I pray, Father, that our hearts would be open and receptive to hear what the Spirit is saying to us. Father, I ask you this morning that we would just lay aside everything else, all the busyness of our life, all the thoughts that might rush into our mind, that we might focus upon you this morning. Lord, that we might be ready to receive from you. And I thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. This morning, Lord willing, we are going to be concluding this series that we've been in. The series was titled, Into His Presence. And we've been talking a lot about praise and worship, how that we enter His gates with thanksgiving. We come on into His courts with praise. We are able to come into the very Holy of Holies by the blood of Jesus, by faith in the blood of Jesus. We can come in and worship God, express our love and devotion to Him in the most intimate way, in His holy presence. Church, that's available to us, but we also need to experience His presence every day of our lives. It needs to be something that we live. We need to live in His presence. You know, if our worship is just a Sunday thing, and if the only time we really get in the presence of the Lord, so to speak, is on Sunday, then are we really? It needs to be something that we live in our life every day. You know, Jesus said the people of His day praised Him with their lips, but their hearts were far from Him. It's not enough for us to just praise Him on Sunday, but we need to praise Him all week. We need to be a worshiper. We need to live in the presence of God. And there are special times in the presence of God, but as a believer, we need to have the presence of God in our life every day. That God is with us. There's something different about our lives that He truly is with us every day. In Matthew's gospel, in chapter 1 and verse 23, there's a prophecy from Isaiah that is fulfilled there regarding the birth of Jesus. And it says this, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated God with us. I really like it when the scripture translates for us. There's no wondering here what the name Emmanuel means. It means God is with us. When He came to this earth, God came in the flesh to be with His people. He's with us. And Jesus came to reconcile us to God, to remove the wall, so that we could have a relationship with God on a daily basis, so that on a daily basis we could experience Him and know Him and be in His presence. He came to restore our relationship with our Heavenly Father. And I want to tell you, we need His presence in our lives. We need, you know, the one thing we need most of all is more of Him. You might have a lot of needs in your life and a lot of things going on, but I want to tell you, the one thing you need is more of Him. In Psalms 73, 25 through 28, the psalmist said, "Whom have I in heaven but you? And there's none upon earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For indeed, those who are far from you shall perish. You have destroyed all those who desert you for harlotry. But it is good for me to draw near to God." Listen, it is good for me to draw near to God. "I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all your works." You see, the psalmist, he wanted the presence of God. He wanted to be near to God more than anything else. That's what he wanted. He realized that that was his portion. That was the source of his strength. That's what he really needed in his life. And you know, I don't know what you got going on in your life right now. I know for a lot of people this is the most hectic time of the year. How about Moses leading approximately, give or take, 2 million people across the wilderness. Listen, we have a hard time getting 15 people from here to a restaurant. He got 2 million people across the wilderness. Men, women, and children, very, very young and very, very old. People of all types. You just get a handful of people together, you're going to have some people issues. He's got 2 million people. And there were times that it really got to him. The weight of it, the burden of it. But you know, Moses didn't ask the Lord for some special miracle or manifestation or some special power. He just asked for more of Him. He realized that what he needed was more of the Lord, the one that he sat and talked with face to face as a man with his friend. That's what the Bible says. And yet Moses has this desire for more of Him. And we read about this in Exodus chapter 33 a few weeks ago, but I want to go back there. Exodus 33, verse 12 through 16. Moses said to the Lord, "You see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you've not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. Now therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you, and that I may find grace in your sight, and consider this, that this people, or this nation, is your people." Now listen, he says, show me your way. He wants to see, he wants to know God's way. He wants to understand how the Lord moves and works. He says, show me your way, that I may know you. And there's his desire, is to really know God more intimately, to experience Him in a personal way. And here's the same man who speaks to God face to face as a man with his friend, but he wants something more. How is it that we can be satisfied with so much less? We need to have a desire for a face-to-face encounter with God, to know Him more, to know His way, not just to know about Him. So many people in our culture want to study about God and talk about God, but they don't know Him. They don't know Him personally. Church, we need to know Him. We need to be growing in our knowledge of Him, the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we really need in our life, is to know Him. And here's the response that the Lord gives to Moses, verse 14. "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." And how powerful those words are. What a fantastic promise that the presence of God would go with Moses. And I want to tell you, that is available to every one of us. That His presence go with us. Not only to be in our church services, not only to be in your personal prayer time, but that His presence will go with you and He'll give you rest. The presence of God will give you rest. You know why? It will give you rest from all of your striving and turmoil, all of that conflict on the inside. Not on the outside. Listen, in this world, you're going to have trouble. See, some people think that they can use their faith to stop all the conflict around them. That's not scriptural. I'm just going to believe God for all my problems and every little bit of anything that upsets me. I'm just going to believe God for it all go away. How's that working for you? Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. But I want to tell you, when you have the presence of God with you on the inside, you can still have peace and joy and victory. Because whatever you encounter, listen, if you've got the Almighty with you, you're going to be all right. If God is with you, if His presence is with you, you're going to get through. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to worry about it. Listen, David said, "When I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me." Listen, when He's with you, no matter what you're facing, you know you're going to be all right. The presence of God gives you rest. Amen. Then Moses says, "If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth." Listen, Moses knew that it was an absolute necessity to have the presence of God with them. He said, if your presence doesn't go with us, then we don't want to go. And church, we need to have that attitude and that mentality. I have to have the presence of God with me everywhere I go, whatever I'm doing. I need God's presence with me. How else will everybody else know that His grace is upon my life? You see, when the presence of God is with us, it's the touch of God on your life. It's the grace of God on you. And He says that's what separates us from everybody else, is that His presence is with us. See, in the presence of God, we've read this several times, Psalm 16:11. There's fullness of joy at His right hand, pleasures evermore. I want you to think about this. There's also the absence of some things. See, in the presence of God, there's not all that frustration. There's not all of that striving and turmoil and conflict on the inside, and discouragement and sorrow and fears and despair and depression. Listen, in the presence of God, those things disappear. Moses knew what he needed was more of God, more of His presence with him every day. And that needs to be our desire, church. We need to long to be in His presence every day, to live in His presence. Listen, in His presence, we have everything we need. I know that sounds real simplistic and trite, but I'm telling you, in His presence, needs are taken care of, whatever your need is. Listen, He takes care of it. If in His presence, the sick or healed. Let's look at the ministry of Jesus. When Jesus showed up on the scene, whatever the battle was over. When He showed up, the storm ceased. When He showed up, the dead were raised. See, has He changed? Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. When His presence, when He is with us, I'll tell you, needs are met. Things are taken care of, whatever the need is. In His presence, there is protection, there's provision, there's deliverance. Turn over in your Bibles to Psalms 91. That's another one of those ones that, if it's not our favorite, most of us, it's one of our very, very favorites. Psalms 91, I call it the insurance policy, because I tell you, the Lord promises us such protection, such deliverance and provision. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. By the way, you know, the Scripture in these verses never uses the word presence, but it's made so clear throughout the passage that some translations, you know, they added a title at the top of the chapter that says, the safety of abiding in the presence of God. It's so clear that it's talking about the presence of God. He says, He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. See, we need to make the Lord our refuge. We need to abide in Him, dwell in Him, live in the presence of God. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that wastes at noonday. I'm telling you, when you are really in the presence of God, you don't have to fear anything. What can get to you? When you are in the presence of God, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Does anybody believe this passage of Scripture? I really do. I really believe that if we believe the promises of God's Word, if we appropriate them by faith, they're for us. This passage does have a condition. All of these great promises of protection and deliverance have a condition. It's for the one that dwells in the secret place. It's for the one that abides under His shadow. It's for the one that lives in His presence. It shall not come near you. Verse 8, only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. And there He says it again. It's because you've made the Lord your dwelling place. Where do you live? We start quoting off our address. But in a sense, we need to know. I live in the presence of God. I live in His dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling, for He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Listen to what He says in verse 14. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver Him. I will set Him on high because He has known my name. He has set His love upon me. Listen, we've been talking about how that worship is our expression of our love and devotion to God. And here in the Scripture He says, because He set His love upon me. You know, a lot of people love God, kind of like the little girl. She went over to a friend's house and they asked her to stay for supper. And the mother said, well, I was going to fix broccoli. Do you like broccoli? And the little girl, wanting to be nice, of course, said, oh, I love broccoli. And so the mother made broccoli and set it on the table. And when they were eating, she noticed that the little girl didn't eat any broccoli. She said, I thought you said you loved broccoli. She said, oh, I do. I love broccoli. I just don't love it enough to eat it. And I'm telling you, most people in our culture today, if you ask them, do you love God? They say, yes, I love God. They love God, but they don't love Him enough to be in His presence. They don't love Him enough to want to be with Him. Now I'm telling you, it's available to us to be in the presence of God, to come and to worship on Sunday and get into the presence of God. It's available to us in our personal prayer time to enter into the presence of God and to know that He is there, that He's with us. It's available to us. It's available to us to know that He is going with me everywhere I go. His presence is with me. But the sad truth is that for a lot of people, they love Him, they just don't love Him enough to want to be with Him. Because He has set His love upon me. Who's He talking about? The one that dwells in His presence. Because He set His love upon me, therefore I'll deliver Him. I set Him on high because He's known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer Him. I will be with Him in trouble. I'll deliver Him and honor Him. With long life I will satisfy Him and show Him my salvation. What tremendous promises for the one that abides in the presence of the Lord. But we have to choose to come into His presence. You got to choose His presence over earthly pleasures. You got to choose His presence over your busy schedule, over your agenda. You got to choose His presence over all of those activities that can seem to demand your time. You have to make a choice to spend time in the presence of the Lord. You know, David made it clear over and over throughout the Psalms that the most important thing to him was to get into the presence of God, to get into the courts of the Lord. That was the one thing that he longed for and desired more than anything else. Moses said it was a necessity. He didn't want to go anywhere without the presence of God. And I'm telling you, if we want the presence of God in our life, we have to choose that. We have to make room for Him in our life. We have to make room, time in our schedule to be alone with Him. Moses did. He talked to the Lord face to face as a man with his friend. We have to make time to get alone with God. Even the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, had times when He left the needs of the crowds and even the disciples and got alone with His Father. We need those times when we get alone with God to sit in His presence, to abide there, to allow His presence to change us, to mold us and to shape us into what we need to be. If we're going to be in His presence, you got to choose it. If you're going to be in His presence, the next thing to be in His presence is that we have to be willing to obey Him. Now, this is shouting ground here. I realize that. I know everybody gets excited about that. You got to obey Him. That's right. Now, I know this goes against the grain of a lot of the popular theology of the day, but if you really want to experience the presence of God in your life on a daily basis, you got to obey the Lord. In fact, throughout the Scripture, you see men and women who had the touch of God, the anointing of God, the presence of God on their life, and then you see some who didn't, and you see some who had it and lost it. And let me tell you what the key difference is. Those that obeyed God and those that didn't. And if we want to experience God's presence in our life every day, we got to walk in obedience to Him. Now, I want to say this very plainly. All of us sin. If we say we do not sin, we make Him out to be a liar and the truth is not in us. That's what the Bible says. All of us make mistakes. All of us mess up sometime. I've actually met a few Christians who told me they never sinned. Really? But the Bible says we do. We all blow it. But we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And when we sin, we confess our sins to Him and He washes us, He cleanses us, He forgives us. That's why we can come into that most holy place, is because there is forgiveness. But what I'm talking about when I say that we have to obey God is we can't allow ourselves to rebel against the Lord and say, well, I don't care, I'm going to do it my way. See, there's this attitude in the church in America today that it doesn't matter if we obey God or not. That He'll still bless us even if we disobey and go the wrong way. God, I'm going to do this, and this is how I'm going to do it, and I'd like some help from You along the way. And we get ourselves in a big mess and in trouble, and we say, hey, God, what's the deal here? I'm telling you, if we want the blessing of God on our life, we want His presence with us, we need to go His way, and we need to obey Him. Now, I know that it doesn't really matter a whole lot what that preacher up there thinks, but it does matter what the Scripture says. Let's start with Acts 3:19. It says, repent, therefore, and be converted. Now, it's talking about people being converted, being born again. But he says, repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. You see, when people repent of their sins, it opens the door for the presence of God, that refreshing to come into our life. It's when we humble ourselves and we repent of our sin and we turn from our way, we turn to God's way, that it opens the door for that forgiveness and the presence of God in our life. Now, John chapter 14, we're going to read verses 19 through 24. See what Jesus has to say about obedience here. And I'm not going to get into a lot of teaching and doctrine here in this passage, but I'm just telling you, there are some truths here that will just absolutely wreck some people's theology. And they just choose to just kind of pass over this passage, as they do others, but they pass over this passage and not really accept what Jesus says here. He says, a little while longer and the world will see Me no more. But you will see Me because I live, you will live also. At that day you will know that I am in the Father and you in Me and I in you. He who has My commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves Me. And he who loves Me will be loved by My Father, and I will love him and manifest Myself to him. Jesus said if we love Him, we'll keep His commandments. And He said if we love Him, then the Father and He will love us. God so loved the world. He loves everybody. But you see, there's a lot of this world that's not experiencing the love of God this morning, I can assure you. They're not experiencing what you and I have. There's so much of the love of God. They're missing out on their suffering and heartache and despair and hopelessness. because they don't have that. They're not experiencing that love. We got a message to tell. But I want you to also understand that Jesus is giving us spiritual truth here, that if we want to experience Him in our life on a daily basis, we got to obey His commands. He says, and I will come and manifest myself to Him. You want a greater revelation of the Lord? You want to experience Him in a greater way? I'm just telling you that you got to be willing to obey God. You got to be willing to go His way. And when you obey His commands, He makes us this promise that He'll come and manifest Himself to us. Let's read on. Judas, not Iscariot. Now, wouldn't you like to have that distinction? But anyway, Judas, not Iscariot, not the bad one, said to Him, Lord, how is it that You will manifest Yourself to us and not to the world? Did you know you can be sitting in a service in the presence of God, and you are getting blessed in the presence of God, and the person next to you doesn't even know that God is there? Jesus said, if anyone loves Me, he will keep My word, and My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. We disobey God. I'll tell you, Jesus gives us this promise that they will come to us, make their home with us. That's living in the presence of God. You got to obey God. Be willing to obey God. It doesn't mean you're perfect. It doesn't mean you never mess up. It means that you obey God. Amen. Next, we need an awareness of the presence of God. If we're going to live in His presence every day, we need an awareness of His presence to know that we are in His presence, that He's with us. And listen, a lot of people are so unaware of the presence of God, they are equally unaware when the presence is gone. First Samuel 18:12. Now Saul was aware, but how sad is this? It says, Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him, but had departed from Saul. And why had the Lord departed from Saul? Because he had disobeyed the Lord and refused to do things God's way. How about Samson? When he told Delilah all his heart, and they cut his hair. In Judges 16:20, she said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. So he awoke from his sleep and said, I will go out as before at other times and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. You see, he didn't even realize the presence of God was gone from out of his life. One great example of a man that became aware of the presence of God is Jacob. It's in Genesis chapter 28. And you know, Jacob grew up as he fulfilled his name. He was such a little deceiver and manipulator. He convinced his brother to give him his birthright. And then he tricked his father into giving him the elder son's blessing. He stole Esau's blessing. And so now Esau wants to kill him, and Jacob is fleeing for his life. But he goes to sleep, and I know most of you are familiar with the story, but he goes to sleep with his head on a rock. It might make you dream, I don't know. But anyway, and when he has this dream, he sees the angels of God ascending and descending from heaven, up and down this ladder or staircase. It's an amazing thing. Verse 13, it says this, and behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie will give to you and your descendants. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, to the south. And in you and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you. Now I want you to take note of this. He says, I am with you. That's what we want. Amen. We want God to be with us. We want His presence in our lives. And you will... and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. And you know, Jacob, up to this point, I don't think he had really been conscious of the presence of God in his life. But at this point, he was well aware that God was with him, that God was real in his life. And when he wakes up from this dream, He knew that God's presence was in that place. Verse 16, it says, he awoke from sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. I'm telling you, sometimes God is right there with us and we don't even know it. We need a revelation. We need an awareness of His presence. Sometimes when we were just in a panic, if we would have just realized that God was right there with us the whole time. And we need that awareness of the presence of the Lord, that He's with us. Now, listen to what Jacob said. He said, the Bible says, and he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Then Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put at his head and set it as a pillar, and he poured oil on top of it, and he called the name of that place Bethel. The name of that city had been Luz previously. Then Jacob made a vow, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I'm going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God, and this stone which I have set up as a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. This was his vow, that he would serve God and God alone, that he would worship God, and that he would give God a tithe, a tenth of everything that he received. He made that vow. I want to tell you the end of the story very quickly. God kept his promise to Jacob. He was with him through everything and kept him. And Jacob kept his vow to God. And I want to tell you, if we just become aware of the presence of God that's with us, that he's with us every step of the way, helping us, that he's there all the time. I think a lot of times people don't keep their vows to God because they think that God has let them down. Listen, even when we are unfaithful, he remains faithful. He keeps his promises. Max Lucado writes in his book, The Great House of God, God can be your dwelling place. God wants to be your dwelling place. He has no interest in being a weekend getaway or a Sunday bungalow or a summer cottage. Don't consider using God as a vacation cabin or an eventual retirement home. He wants you under his roof now and always. He wants to be your mailing address, your point of reference. He wants to be your home. I really believe that. God wants us to dwell in his presence. He wants us to live in his presence. To live in his presence, we need to have a reverence for his presence. Now, some people, when you mention the word reverence, they always think of being quiet. But that's not scriptural. That's not what the word reverence means scripturally. It means that we are to respect him, to have a godly fear of him, not be afraid or scared of him, but to have an awe of him. That he is holy and almighty God, and we have to reverence his presence. But one of the greatest illustrations of understanding the presence of the Lord and having respect for the presence of God is in the Old Testament when David first decided to bring the Ark of the Covenant, which represented the presence of God, back to the children of Israel. He decided to do it man's way. And they got a cart pulled with oxen and put the Ark of the Covenant on it. And as they traveled, it was shaken, and to keep it from falling, someone reached out and steadied it, and that man was struck dead. And so for a while, they didn't bring the ark back. But later, when David decided again to bring it back, he found out how. He found God's way. And they did it right. They had the priest carry the ark. And as they carried it, as they brought the presence of God back to God's people, the Bible says that David danced before the Lord with all his might. What I'm saying to you is that you can be quiet and still and be irreverent as you think about the ball game or something else you're going to do later on in the day. And you can also dance before the Lord with all your might and be reverent and respectful to God. You know, and however we worship him and however we express our love to him, it has to be done with a humble heart to glorify him, because the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians, in fact, it's chapter 1 and verse 29, that no flesh shall glory in His presence. Now, we have to give respect and honor to Him and reverence His presence. I think in our day and time, that's another thing that's just kind of lost in this generation, is reverence for the presence of God, to really respect His presence. I just gotta step into it this morning, all right? I'm just gonna. I realize that it's the popular cool thing that in some churches you can have your food and have. I realize that. I know. I know what's pop. I know the popular attitude of the day is that we're just all laid back with our buddy Jesus. It's all cool. I want to tell you, He's still the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And when John got a revelation of Him in the book of Revelation, he fell at His feet as though he were dead. Where is the fear of the Lord gone? The respect and the reverence that our holy God deserves. Listen, when Moses was at the burning bush, it wasn't Moses' idea to take his shoes off. The Lord said to him, "Don't come near. Take your shoes off, because the place where you're standing is holy." When Joshua saw the captain of the Lord's host appear to him in Joshua chapter 5, Joshua bowed down and worshiped him, but he told him to take his shoes off. Listen, we need to understand. I'm not telling you everybody needs to take their shoes off next week when you come to church, all right? What I am telling you is we need to realize that when we're in the presence of God, it is a holy thing, and we need to respect and reverence Him. I'm telling you, there may be an experience. You have a burning bush experience with God. There may be a time when you do need to take your shoes off. But I just want you to see that it's scriptural. And I know what some people think. They think, oh, that was the God of the Old Testament. He was mean and grouchy. We're serving the God of the New Testament. He's cool and fun. Hebrews. How about Hebrews 12, 28 and 29. Therefore, since we're receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Our God is a consuming fire. You see, He hasn't changed. He's still holy, awesome God. And we need to respect, reverence His presence. In Jeremiah 5:22, the Bible asks this question. In fact, it's the Lord. He says, "Do you not fear me? Will you not tremble at my presence?" And I don't believe that God wants us to be scared of Him, but He wants our respect and our reverence. And when we are in His presence, oh, how we need to reverence Him and never ever take it lightly to be in the presence of God. Oh, even just to know in my personal devotional time that God is with me. Just to know that He is with me throughout my day. I'll tell you, if we'll respect Him, be aware of His presence and respect His presence in our life, what a blessing. Last, if we're going to live in His presence, we have to live the life of a worshiper. We've been talking a lot about worship over the last few weeks and how that it is through our praise and worship that we enter into the presence of God. And if we want the presence of God every day in our life, then we have to be a worshiper every day, not just a Sunday worshiper, but we need to be somebody that worships God in our devotional time and our private prayer life. We need to worship God every day. And in the way that we live our life, let it bring glory and honor to the Lord. You know, all of the great men and women of God in the Bible, they were all worshipers. It's kind of a strange thing, but when Abraham took his son Isaac and was going to sacrifice his son in obedience to the Lord, this is what he said. He said, "We're going to go and worship." He said, "We will worship and then we'll come back to you." Now, he really believed that God, that he was going to sacrifice him, but he also believed that God was going to raise him from the dead. So he said, "We're going to go worship and we're going to come back." How about Moses? I'll tell you, Moses had this relationship with God face to face as a man with his friend. Exodus 34:8 says, Moses bowed to the ground and worshiped. That's when he received the Ten Commandments the second time. Isn't God gracious? He received the commandments the second time. He bows to the ground and worship. I already told you Joshua and Joshua 5, how he fell down in worship. And these great men, they were all worshipers. David was such a worshiper. Well, I want to tell you something else. They not only worshiped when times were good, when everything was working and everything looked good and everything was going their way. They also worshiped in times of distress and times of turmoil and times of even in tragedy, they worshiped God. You know, when everything was taken away from Job, except for a wife that told him to curse God and die, Job didn't curse God. You see, in our generation, there's so many people that blame God and accuse God and shake their fist at God and curse God for the things that sinful man and Satan does. But Job didn't curse God. In fact, the Bible says when he received all that bad news, this is what he did. He worshiped God. Absolutely amazing. Job 1:20, Job arose, rent his mantle, shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. He worshiped. King David, when he had an affair with Bathsheba and a child was born from that affair, the child became very, very sick. And so David fasted and prayed. He fasted and prayed. Wouldn't eat anything. Fasted and prayed. But the child died. And this was David's response when he was brought the news that the child had died. It's 2 Samuel 12:20. David arose from the earth, washed, anointed himself, changed his apparel, and came into the house of the Lord and worshiped. David's worship wasn't dependent upon whether or not God did exactly what he thought he should do, whether or not he got the answer that he was asking for. His worship was dependent upon the awesomeness of our God. He worshiped God no matter what it looked like, no matter whether tragedy or triumph was his that day. He still worshiped God. And I want to tell you, if you're going to be a real worshiper, you're going to have to worship God in the good days and the bad days because you're going to have some of both. In this world, you're going to have trouble. You can't make all your problems go away. You're going to have some days when you're going to worship God, not because you feel like it, not because everything's going your way, but you're going to worship God because He's worthy. You're going to bring Him the sacrifice of praise and worship Him. That's the life of worship. Living a life of worship. And that's how you live in the presence of God. When we live in the presence of God, you know, I talked about the blessings and how that God takes care of us and how that we can go anywhere, we can do anything when the presence of God is with us. But I want to tell you something. There's something else that happens when you're in the presence of God, and it is this. You are changed. You are transformed in the presence of God. You see, when Moses got in the presence of God, his face began to glow. There was a glow about him. He was transfigured, and the people saw the glory of the Lord upon Moses, but the Bible says that it faded away. But the glory that the New Testament believer has is never supposed to fade, but it's supposed to grow stronger and stronger. In fact, 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "We all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into that same image from glory to glory, just as by," listen, "the Spirit of the Lord." It is the Spirit of God as we sit in His presence or we worship in His presence that changes us from glory to glory and makes us what we're supposed to be. Jesus chose 12. The Gospel of Mark tells us He chose 12 that they might be with Him and He would send them out to preach. You see, it's when we're with Him that we become ready to be used of Him. Peter and John had that distinction that even those who didn't believe, even the religious leaders of that day recognized, they said, "These men have been with Jesus." I tell you, people need to be able to see that we've been with Jesus, that we've been in the presence of God, that we've been transformed by the presence of God. And when we go out in this world, we're taking the presence of God with us, the anointing. Listen, the Spirit of Christ is upon our lives. Everywhere we go, He's with us. But we got to be with Him. We got to spend time in His presence. Be aware of His presence. Reverence His presence. We got to be willing to obey Him and do what He asks of us. We got to choose His presence. Oh, church, we have to be worshipers. Truly worship Him and give Him the honor and the glory. He deserves it all. I want you to stand with me, and I want our prayer partners to go ahead and come. You know, this morning, as we stand here in the presence of the Lord, become aware He's here. He really is here. He's all around us right now. Mighty God. The one who is holy, the one who is almighty, the one who is love. He's all around us. Jesus told the disciples, He said, I'm leaving. But I'm not going to leave you comfortless. Instead, He said that He would send us the Holy Spirit. He said, He that's with you will be in you. You see, we can have that very presence in our lives. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, He says that He will dwell among us, that He'll live in us and walk among us. How does He do that? It's by His Spirit that He's with us every day. He's all around us. You're not alone. And I encourage you this morning, if you find yourself that you've just drifted away from the Lord, I want to tell you that He still loves you and He's reaching out to you. And if you'll just turn to Him, He's right there waiting with open arms to love you, to restore. That's what He wants. That's what He wants. If you're one of those that you realize that you've taken God lightly, taken His presence lightly, I just encourage you to have a change of heart this morning. Confess that to the Lord and begin to walk in respect and reverence for Him in your life. If you have not received the fullness of the Holy Spirit in your life, I encourage you to pray. Just ask the Holy Spirit or ask the Father to fill you with His Spirit. Listen, it's His pleasure to give it to you. He knows how to give good gifts to His children. How much more will our Father not give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? Some people seem to be afraid of the Holy Spirit, but I want to tell you, it's just God here right now with us by His Spirit. And listen, all you have to do is ask and believe you receive. How much more does our Heavenly Father know how to give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? He'll give it to you. Just believe you receive. Amen. Amen. Our prayer partners are here to pray with you, whatever your need might be. There may be someone here, maybe you've never really received Jesus as Lord and Savior. And I just encourage you this morning to come for prayer and begin a new life with Jesus. If you'll just put your faith and trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He'll come into your life and change your life. I believe there's some of you here this morning that there's something stirring on the inside of you for a hunger, a desire, a thirst for more of God, more of the presence of God in your life. And I encourage you to come this morning and just reaffirm your walk with God and your relationship with Him. And let God know, like Moses did, let God know that you need something more. You let God know you want something more from Him. You want to know Him. You want to know His way. You want His presence in your life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.